How do you measure yourself with other golfers?
By height.
It's a very, very special honor.
I'm Paula Creamer, and you're listening to Golf Talk Live.
Well, we're waiting.
Hi, this is Martin Cove, a.k.a. John Kreese from Cobra Kai, and you're listening to Golf Talk Live.
Welcome to the 19th hole, brought to you by Golf Talk Live. I am Alan DePugh, and I am joined by, once again, my co-host, Christian Nazamas. Hello, Christian.
Hello, Alan. How are you?
Tremendous. Thank you for asking. And Andrew DePugh.
What's going on, guys?
Well, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Just finished watching a great golf tournament. We are recording on Sunday evening. Notice how I moved the microphone just to, so anybody can actually, there we go. And great golf tournament. I can't wait to get to this later, a little bit later in the show. But Andrew.
Yeah.
What's going on in the golf industry?
What's going on is there is now the great debate. And I want to open it up to all y'all. And let's just get right into it. So there's been a lot of debate because of the slow play on whether or not the PGA Tour should allow rangefinders on tour. They say that this could help speed up play. They think this might be the way to limit the guys like the Bryson DeChambeau's taking 20 minutes over a golf ball. And I'll be honest with you, I think as long as it's not something that gives them slope and just like us amateurs that get to use rangefinders in tournaments, I think it's a phenomenal idea. I think it's progressive. It's showing that they actually are trying to think, you know, this day and age rather than just, hey, here's a yardage book, go find it kind of thing. I love it. I think it's a phenomenal one. I know that there's a lot of backlash on the other side of it saying, well, that's not, you know, they're professionals, but you know, I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of the move. I know there's a lot of on both sides of it. So we'll love your opinions on it.
Yeah. I mean, I agree first and foremost. I mean, as long as they don't give them slopes, I think I don't really see the issue, to be honest with you. It does speed up play tremendously. I mean, if you're in the middle of the fairway, rough, bunker, wherever you are, I mean, you just zoom, it's a number, you know, it saves you that extra, you know, a few minutes of walking up 10 yards, walking behind you, really kind of going from there. So I like the idea. I think it'll speed up play, and I think that it could be good for the game.
I mean, the reality is the tour caddies have already got it dialed in. You're shaving over 18 holes, not a great deal of time. But what you do stop, and the classic example, and we'll probably mention his name it later in the show as well, is Jordan at the Open Championship a number of years ago when he
– oh, yeah.
Flared it so far right, and I think he was almost in a parking lot, and they had to figure out the distance to hit that 3-iron that he pulled off remarkably well.
Yeah,
that type of situation, absolutely, it would speed up play instead of delaying a 20, you know, 15-20 minute.
If you go the next step further, like these caddies, they'll still have their yardage books. The way that I took it, maybe I misunderstood. But I mean, it sounds like they'll still have the yardage books and still have the extra maybe like tips and tricks of how they want to play the hole. I think, you know, from a yardage to the pin, like you got the pin sheet, you got everything else. Like, it's just going to help make that decision quicker in my mind that, yeah, you may not have the guessing and the oh my goodness, this is a miraculous shot because I didn't know the yardage to a degree, you know, like Jordan, but I mean, how long did we sit there and how many commercial breaks did we go through on the Jordan, you know, shot itself? I mean, it took forever. And then they were on the clock to try to get caught up because they didn't have a clue how far they were. So yeah. I think it's a phenomenal idea.
I'll play devil's advocate here and I'll say from the other side of things, the people who don't like it, they're going to probably say, well, they're tour pros. They don't deserve to have a Bushnell looking down in the exact yardage of a hole. I mean, still, is it really going to speed play up if you think about it? If it's windy out, they're going to have to, you know, figure out what the number is. You know, that just because they're scoping it, it says 130 to the pin, you know, they're still going to take a few minutes here and there to figure out the exact yardage if they want to play it. So would it really, in all reality, speed play up?
So I'll give you the old guy, the gray hair perspective. The reality, yeah,
I think I got more grays than you, honestly. I'm not going to lie. I may have more gray.
I shaved mine all off up top. the truth of the matter is, and I wasn't that accomplished of a golfer. I was good at one time. when I had hair. And
in both knees.
In both knees. Reality is, you know, back the older players, it was all about manipulating the shots anyway and what have you. And I don't, because they are touring professionals, they are so dialed in. They know so well their yardages for what situation. If it's going to be, a three-quarter seven iron, they know exactly how far they're going to hit that. A three-quarter seven iron with a cut, they know exactly how far they're in abnormal conditions, in a vacuum. So I don't know if it, in the grand scheme of things, it gives them a quick understanding of how far they really are. In that sense, it speeds up play. But they already know.
Do you think it will actually make them worse? Do you think it will throw off a lot of their games?
I don't think so. I mean, they use
if they're so dialed in already with the system, it could throw off a few. I don't know. I mean, we won't know unless it happens.
I mean, we won't know. You're right. We won't know unless it happens. I don't think it will. I don't think it'll have that much of an issue.
These guys are using
TrackMans and every little gadget pre-round. I mean, you heard guys. I mean, obviously, again, we're going to get to it later, but you hear guys like Max Homa on 18 today. He's talking about, oh, well, it's playing like this. So, like, yeah, I just think it's going to help speed up because, yeah, you're going to have the win. But, like, we've played in collegiate tournaments. We've all played in decent-sized tournaments. Dad, you hadn't had the luxury because it wasn't out yet back when you were playing. But that's not a shot at your age. That's just the reality. But when we played in the collegiate tournaments, you use the yardage you got, right? You figured out, okay,
with my persimmon woods,
with your persimmon woods and your, you know, what is it? The golf ball, the old school golf ball that we have.
Gutta percha.
There you go.
Okay.
Listen, we're not getting into your age.
Heel shafts.
I'm not getting into your age. I'm just trying to give perspective. I'm not Christian. I'm not 802 putter. Listen, you're getting us off track. We need to get back on track. But I don't think these guys are guessing even still. Like, they have an idea of how far they hit it, but they're still guessing. I think it will speed up play dramatically, but we're not going to know until they eventually obviously make that decision. So, you know, until then, we're just going to kind of have to go with the flow.
Well, this all goes back to our conversation last week, a little bit about Pinehurst. And what, you know, one of the underlying reasons maybe of Pinehurst is to do field research for controlling the distance of the golf balls and so forth. The other thing, and you mentioned, you know, Max Homa's conversation. How about the conversation? And this is where I don't think it benefits. How about the conversation? I think it was last week at Pebble where Jordan is sitting there and going, well, I got to consider the adrenaline. So he knows how much his yardage is for hitting the 8-iron I think he had in his hand that time. But he's also got to contemplate how much adrenaline's going through his body at that point in the situation. So,
true.
You know, the bottom line is technology is amazing. And segue, I'll tell you where they got some amazing technology is at Play Around Golf. We were at Malvern. I think you guys probably saw on our social media our Saturday morning for the most recent leg of the Golf Talk Live Winter Tournament Series. If you're in the Philadelphia market, you got to come out to this. They have two stores, Malvern and Ardmore, and we just have fun. I mean, it's just a good time. And the technology that you get by being in these simulators, it is amazing. You know swing path, you know ball speed, you know club head speed, you see carry, you get a sense of ball flight on the screen, obviously. I mean, we talked about it before, guys. I mean, simulators are here to stay, and look at the touring professionals that are utilizing them for game improvement.
Yep.
I love going to them whenever I get a chance to. It's always so much fun to go out there. You play different courses, you kick back, you relax, you may have a beer or two, like playing. I love them. And yep. I jump on the opportunity whenever I can have a chance to go to one.
And I'll tell you what, because they do such a great job, Steve Graves and Steve Graves Jr., they do such a great job. I mean, I took a glance at their quote unquote tee sheet, you know,
they're
packed this time. We've got snow on the ground. It's a place to go. Guys are coming in. They're bringing their foursome there and they're booking out every single week. It's a fun environment. Next week on the 27th, we will be down at the Ardmore store, but I'll tell you what, I did have a chance to sit down with Steve Graves Jr. while I was there this week. And we chatted about this very topic. Let's go to that quick interview.
We are at Play Around Golf, the Malvern location, for the next leg of the Golf Talk Live Winter Tournament Series, and I am joined once again by Steve Graves Jr. Steve, welcome.
Good morning, Alan. Good to have you back, buddy.
Good to see you again, my friend. Got a good crowd again today?
Always, always. Certainly the snow helps.
Well, and, you know, let's talk about that for a second. Obviously, in the winter, in the off-season, indoor simulators are the crave because golfers get to continue to practice. But it's really become a year-round location because of the game improvement factor that you can get so much great feedback from the simulator.
Sure, sure. It's a convenience, obviously, with time. But coming in year-round certainly is going to help your game, you know, no matter where you're at, whether you're just a beginner starting off or coming in on a date night. It's a perfect place to, you know, hone your game. Obviously, we get a lot of guys coming in post-Christmas with some new clubs, some trips down south and out west, and they just want to be ready for those. So no matter where you're at in your game, simulators can definitely kind of reach it where you want to go.
And you have two locations.
Correct.
Here in Malvern, in the greater Philadelphia area, here at the Malvern location, as well as at the Ardmore store, which we will be at for an upcoming next leg of the tournament series.
Yes.
But great response, great turnout, leagues, yes, outings, beginner and golfers.
Sure, and I think golf's seen that in general just over the past year. Obviously, the Tiger effect, you know, the past 20 or so, but just with the pandemic and more interest in the game, that's going to equate to more retail sales, more lessons, more rounds played at courses. So if we can help people keep their swing going, why not?
So let's talk about the junior golfers for a second, because one of the things I find really unique about the simulators is their ability to create. Sure, there's Teeth of the Dog, there's Pebble Beach, there's various other great, renowned golf tracks that are in loaded. How many golf courses in total?
At least 70.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow. So, but they're also fun games, and
sure,
and the kids probably gravitate to that because it's almost like playing the video game concept, but in real life and in activity, getting them out, physical exercise and so forth.
It's how kids learn, and it's through play. And you want to offer golf in a non-regimented environment that enables them to grow and progress. And if you put too much structure and rules on it, obviously they can kind of be disinterested. Pebble Beach is great. Sawgrass is great, but leave that for people who've kind of been out there and played a bit. The simulators offer all kinds of games like darts, cornhole. You can play mini golf and skee ball. You can set up any one of the courses we have from 100 yards in. So, you know, play in Pebble Beach, but every hole's 100 yards. And see if you can make a par three.
And you set me up on, what was that one called, Razor's Edge, where the you demoralized me, my friend. No, I'm just kidding.
they have some other fun games, more challenging games for the intermediate and advanced players, kind of similar to horse in that respect.
I found out the weaknesses in my game really quickly.
it's designed to you know, help golfers get better, but also keep it fun at the same time. And it's got to be fun, you know, no matter what level you're playing at.
And we touched on, just briefly, the technology. I mean, you're really getting all the aspect. You're getting club head speed, ball speed. You're getting angle of attack. You're getting all the various components that you really want to analyze when you're trying to improve and keep the swing going through the winter, as much as keeping it smooth and grooved and so forth.
Sure, sure. And I think club fitters and pros, instructors have seen that as well. A lot of do-it-yourselfers out there. A lot of guys who are tracking their own numbers, a lot of technology and accessories that help the golfer track their numbers now. So whether it's a Fitbit, whether it's an app on your phone, the tools are out there to obviously track your progress and measure it, but help you get better.
And you mentioned the pros. We came around the corner today, and Jim Bromley, the head golf professional of Ravensclaw Golf Club here in the Philly area, and one of our sponsors for the Winter Tournament Series, he happens to be here in the building today.
He always sees above everybody else. He just has that vision. I don't know how, but Jimmy B, yeah, he's a great dude. We had him for our summer camps a few years ago, and doing great things up at Ravensclaw. Course is in great shape.
Good deal. Well, Steve, appreciate it as always. The hospitality, you and your father, Steve Graves Sr. We look forward to being out at Ardmore coming up here shortly, and we'll see you again soon.
Awesome, Alan. I appreciate your time,
buddy. All right, thank you.
Yep.
And we're back from that renowned, might I add, interview by none other than co-host and looking very young. And yes, I am trying to butter him up, folks. If you are, you know,
obviously he's buttering me up because he just called me old and talked about.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's definitely a kiss ass right there. I'll tell you what, if I've ever heard
listen,
one.
Listen, if I have to listen to you kiss his ass every week, the least I can do is try to butter him up after calling him old with, you know, the fact that
I owned up to it. I owned up to it, you know, and Alan makes a lot of good points. So am I really kissing his ass?
Well, I make a lot of good points, Christian, because with age comes wisdom. I mean, I don't know if you know that.
And with age comes beauty, too.
Speaking of age, though, before we get too down this rabbit hole, because we could go on this topic for probably, you know, 20 minutes, and we're already been recording for 10 at this point.
Yeah, we could talk about that.
No, I'm talking about age. We're talking age. We're not talking beauty.
Oh.
Speaking of age, we didn't get a chance to cover it, but just recently, a very famous golf movie had its 25th anniversary, and that is none other than my favorite movie growing up, Happy Gilmore. You want to talk about driving the golf ball well? You want to talk about everything that is my game to a T? It is that movie, and it's no wonder that my golf game suffers in the short game area because, well, I watched Happy Gilmore way too many times growing up. So Adam Sandler and everybody else that has been a part of that great movie, we thank you for creating the cultural classic for this us golfers in the world. It has truly been a timeless wonder to continue to watch. So I have to give them the great shout out that they, you know, definitely deserve.
So here's my first take on it. My first take is, wow, I cannot believe it's already been 25 years since that came out. And my other comment is, my God, I can't believe how young Adam Sandler looks in that movie. You know, looking back at it now, obviously 25 years have passed. And, you know, I'm chuckling because I'm just thinking of different scenes.
Now, did you guys see the exchange on the 25th anniversary day between Adam Sandler and I can't remember
Shooter?
The exchange that they had on Instagram was fantastic. Adam comes out, he hits his traditional Happy Gilmore golf swing. He talks about how, you know, much he's been just aching after making a swing like that. And then you see Shooter respond by making a putt and then go, Shooter. Like, it brought back all the
movies. McDonald is the actor you're reaching for.
Yes, there, okay, right? Okay, sorry. I'm
forever typecast as Shooter
to it.
It's just, it's arguably one of the best, I mean, if not the best golf movie. Comedy, the comedy in it is just so funny. It never gets old when you watch it. I mean, it's literally that Caddyshack. I mean, maybe Legend of Bagger Vance. Like, you're talking those top three.
Now you're talking great movie, Legend of Bagger.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's just, you never get old watching Caddyshack, and it's just like, it's always funny.
So the best part is the tweet from that Christopher McDonald puts out after he puts it out there. He goes, "This is still Shooter's tour," and then he says, like, I can't remember who he decided was the pairings, but he's like, "How about Tiger and I play against you and Phil for Grandma's house?"
Yes, yeah. I also saw another one that he said, "Hey, Happy, meet me on the 9th at 9," and that's just the classic one line that I always remember. If you're ever, you know, watching that's a movie nice, and you step on the 9th green, you're like, oh, the 9th at 9, Shooter's tour. But no, it was, I believe you are correct. I believe it was Happy and Phil versus Tiger and Shooter. And Phil then responds back, you know, in typical Phil fashion, saying, yeah, that wouldn't even be close. So, you know.
Well, I'm just saying, if that match happened, I don't know, because Phil's playing like shit right now. I'm just saying.
I'm telling
Phil's
you right terribly. Now. I'm telling you right now, you want to do – they're looking for entertainment value, and they're looking to raise money for charity or whatever the case. Whoever's out there, that's the match that you got to put together.
And that'd be hilarious.
And have Adam come out there in actually happy garb and play.
Oh, that would be incredible.
1,000%.
You want to talk about the donations to charity that you could get would be incredible.
Awesome. It'd be awesome.
I think the Boston Bruins might actually make one of the biggest and sizable most donations out there just because of him wearing their jersey. Without I mean, that's the only thing.
I think they get more viewers than they would be if it was playing against Peyton or Tom Brady, personally.
Oh, yeah.
1,000%.
Absolutely.
That'd be huge for golf. I would love to see it.
Now, the question becomes, does Adam Sandler then play the traditional happy swing the whole way through? He's got to, right? Ooh. I mean, that's the only way he could.
Has to. I mean, he has to. He's got to bring out the hockey stick, too, for his putter. Has to.
The Odyssey golf
putter. It wouldn't be a Happy Gilmore if it wasn't.
The Odyssey wooden stick golf putter.
I love that. Absolutely love that.
Well, listen, speaking of putting.
We could talk about this the whole time, but yeah. Andrew, only because you've already alluded to it, do I get the opportunity this one time to say, your putting sucks.
Yeah, well, my putting does suck. And like I said, it was all because, and this is not a shot at the Happy Gilmore impersonator of Adam Sandler, but, you know, my putting has been definitely suffered because of watching that movie so many times. However, Happy, if you're listening somehow, by some miracle, if you're looking for a great way to work on your short game and you're not going to go, you know, try to put it through the clown's nose at the mini golf course, you got to try the none other than the Perfect Practice golf mat. I've used it. I've actually worked on my putting and it has truly helped me. I have not tried to destroy any mini golf courses in the making either, which is a plus. So you have to try ours out. Use our code GTL15, again, GTL15 for 15% off today on your Perfect Practice putting mat. I definitely highly recommend it. It definitely works for the guys and girls that can't putt like me. So Happy, again, if you are listening and looking for the last minute tip to try to beat Shooter before that fabled match that hopefully happens, you got to try them out. There you go.
Shooter.
And one final.
That's going to be Andrew when he makes a putt. The one putt he makes when we play, he's going to go, Andrew.
This is Andrew's tour.
And by the way, guys, Grizzly Adams did have a beard.
Grizzly Adams did have a beard. Yeah,
oh, man.
I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to step up. I'm after knocking on closer. I'm just going to look back at you both and just go, somebody's closer.
But then your dad and I will say, look at the scorecard and know that you're in third place.
I don't care. Just so that I can be able to do that. I might break out the Odyssey stick putter just so that I can be able to.
Hey, you probably putt better with that than you would be with a normal putter. I need
something. I need something. Let's feel
in the flow. Feeling the flow.
Love it.
It's all.
I'll tell you who was feeling the flow, guys. I'll tell you who was feeling the flow. I can't wait to watch Twitter. Look at Twitter.
Oh, Twitter's going to be popping off tonight.
I can't wait to watch Twitter.
Nick Faldo said it best. He was taking a sip of water on the 10th hole in the playoff. He said the next drink that man drinks is probably champagne. He called it early. I mean, I don't know how he knew, but he knew. And the only thing I will say, for once, you all lose. Andrew wins. That's all I'm saying. I don't care. Max Homa obviously deserves the props that he gets.
I'm going to say it right now. I am so happy that Max Homa won that goal. I love Tony Finau.
I didn't want to hear you.
I probably would have called in sick this show if Tony Finau won.
Yeah.
So I would have listened.
You would have sat there for like 45 minutes talking to yourself.
Listen, all I'm saying is you two give me the most heinous level of just knock against
you because you pick the same three golfers every week.
It works eventually. You just gotta wait till it works. I mean, did yours even make the cut this week, Christian?
No, okay.
So then that doesn't matter. Dad, did yours make the cut? Hold on. Did yours make the cut?
Yeah, absolutely. Victor Hovland.
Okay, but was he playing for the championship in the playoff? No, he was not.
Well, hats off to Max Homa. The dude finally broke through. I mean,
he's good.
I broke through in a while, man. When was the last time Max Homa won? When was the last time we actually even saw Max Homa? Not even in a playoff, but it was like I mean, dude, the guy's a stud. The guy got a swing. I mean, he's just one of the phenomenal young golfers that we have on tour that, you know, I'm not saying he's going to break out for a major, but if you play like he did this week, I mean, Riviera is one of the toughest tracks around on the tour. And I mean, if he can win there, he can win anywhere. So
the one thing I'll say about Max, and I truly, and this wasn't just because I saw PTSD flashbacks of missing short little putts like that myself, but I truly believe,
Christian, you notice we're trying to lay off of him about his putting stroke.
And he just keeps bringing it back.
I'm trying to make a point. Can you just let me make my point? That's all I'm trying to do. I understand where my putting is at. We've already made this joke. That's not a problem. All I'm saying is I truly believed, and I even further thought, that Max Homa was out of it, and Tony had won the tournament, even though they were going into a playoff. When he missed that short putt, I was like, his mental game is done. And then he follows it up with that tee shot on 10. I was like, okay, definitely. Like, I wrote it off. And I'll be honest with you, he's earned a lot more respect in my mind moving forward as a golfer when it's coming down the stretch, because the way that he handled not making the putt to win it, then getting as bad of a break as you could probably get, and turning the shot out that he pulled with that, you know, toe wedge, you know, it was impressive. There's no other way to say it.
I completely agree. I can't even debate you on this.
Yeah.
He showed some mental fortitude. I mean, he missed that putt on 18, and then he comes back, and he could have easily had a meltdown.
1,000%.
I mean,
let me ask you a question. Did Sam Burns lose the tournament, or did Max Homa win it?
Sam Burns lost the tournament.
Because if you look at Sam Burns, the first 3.5 rounds, the dude looked, I mean, yes, I know kind of fell off a little bit yesterday.
Sam Burns shoots 2 under today. Now, I will say this. I will say this. I made a comment earlier today at the course. We're all standing there watching the tournament. I said, somebody's going to shoot 65 and come out of from the back and win this thing.
So
Tony shot 64 and almost pulled it off.
I think Sam added one more learning lesson to his resume, and he's right there.
Because it's not like he played bad today. I mean, I know he had a few bogeys in the back nine, but like you said, he shot 2 under par. So it's not like he went out there and blew up and shot 5 over. I mean, he was still hanging around there all the time. And I mean, obviously he didn't birdie 18,
he's playing beside the previous time that he was in a final group was with Tiger, right? Yep. A couple years ago. And now he's playing the world's number one, and he's staring him down. And he beat Dustin today.
Yeah, he beat Dustin today. Dustin shot one over.
I think you guys obviously make valid points. I think Sam lost the tournament because it was multiple times. He was up 5 making the turn on Saturday, right? If I'm not mistaken. And then he came in and was only 2 up going into Sunday. And then he was actually playing very, very well. And then he stumped. Like, I think Sam is going to come out of this. Your dad, you're 1,000% correct. He's going to come out of this. I think he'll win sometime this year on tour. I truly believe that. Seeing him play, seeing his game, I think but you don't stumble that many times consecutively in rounds and expect to win the golf tournament. Like, he lost that turn. That tournament was his.
I don't think he lost it. I don't think he stumbled a little bit on Saturday afternoon. Yes, I understand that. But also at the same point, too, he shot 4 under on the front nine today going out in the back nine.
I'll make an analogy. I mean, it may be a reach here, but Andrew, you're an ex-hockey goalie. I mean, if you go out and stop 48 out of 50, right, mm-hmm. you get outshot, and your team can only put in one, and they score 2, and they're like, did you lose? No, you just didn't win.
You lost?
He just didn't win. He just didn't win today.
Listen. Some people can play better. And again, I'm not trying to take away from the play that Tony, Max Homa, the guys that ended up being in the playoff had. Obviously, they played phenomenal to get to even that point. But my point is, you're up on multiple days throughout the tournament and with a sizable lead. And I saw a post, or I think it was Nick Faldo, right, even that he even says he makes a turn on 9 on Saturday, up 5. And he's like, this man's locked it in. If he continue, and then he stumbles, he barely claws his way into the clubhouse in the back 9 at Riviera on Saturday. He comes out and from the, what, again, I can tell, cause I didn't get to watch the beginning part of it, it seemed like he was controlling the top of the leaderboard for most of the day.
I think he birdied 2 out of his first 4, I think.
Okay. So he's controlling the leaderboard for most of the day. If I'm in the last group and I am a professional golfer, now again, I'm not, so I'm being somewhat to a degree the media guy that's scrutinizing, so I apologize. But when I look at that from an athletic standpoint and from my mentality standpoint, I'm going in there with, all right, I got the lead. I'm going to not even let this even come close. I'm going to drive the nail into the coffin and end it.
Let me ask you a question. Okay. Did Jordan Spieth lose at Pebble Beach or Daniel Berger win?
I think that's a totally different case.
I don't believe so.
I don't think it's a different case.
I totally believe that's a different case.
Sam Burns, if I'm Sam Burns going
to
bed tonight,
what did Jordan shoot in the final round?
It's two completely different golf courses.
But you just said it's the
same topic. It's the same topic of discussion, because if I'm Sam Burns right now going to bed at night, I'm saying to myself, I didn't lose the golf tournament. I'm taking a crap ton of positives out of this week, because I know for a fact that I'm very, very, very close to breaking through on the PGA Tour and winning, right? But Sam Burns could have easily have came out today and shot 5 over par after his back 9 on Saturday, okay?
He's teeing it up against the champion.
But
world
he's teeing it up against DJ and
what
the
did
best
Jordan
in the best.
Shoot at I think Pebble? He was over par, yes or no?
I don't think he was. I think he was 100.
He was like even. Or yeah, he was even or over par. I know that, like, okay.
Berger shot what 65, 66?
Berger shot 65. He outplayed him, but Jordan did not lose.
My point is that Sam had, in my mind, throughout this whole tournament, everybody was talking. Like, this was his tournament to lose. And then he stumbled on Saturday, but somehow continue to have the lead. So now when you're a competitive athlete and you have a situation where everyone's like, this one's locked off, like give this man the money now. And he almost loses it on Saturday and walks away with, okay, I'm still in the lead. I'm coming back with, I'm not shooting anything less than,
but who's
400, who's, 500,
everybody, Nick Faldo. Because Nick's sitting there and he's watching. I mean, I have lots of respect for Nick Faldo, but come on. Riviera is tough.
I get that it's a tough golf course. I'm just saying, like, if I have multiple chances to put the tournament away, like, in order to be successful and some of these best golfers, in order to have that mentality – you have to have the mentality, I have the chance to put it away, I'm going to bury it.
I think Sam Burns, when he wins, and I believe he will, and kudos, Sam, even though Andrew's dissing on you, I think you played great this week. I think Sam Burns will win coming from behind in his first event.
I agree.
Second or third group from the last group, from last, goes out there. Exactly. Tony had no pressure on him. He could just fire at flags. Max had no pressure on it.
But do you say, okay, so you say
with the pressure of being the leader of the tournament on Sunday at Riviera with Tiger Woods probably standing there looking down from the top of the clubhouse and teeing it up alongside the world number one. The dude.
Hold on a second. You're on the PGA Tour for what reason? Because you've proved that you can play with guys like that.
So what you're saying is that no matter what tournament it is, no matter who's in the lead, if you're in the lead going into Sunday, whether you're tied for the lead or not, if you come from behind to win, You're saying that that person teeing it up on Sunday afternoon who has a lead or a co-lead lost the tournament.
If it's that sizable of a difference from where like Holman,
but it was two shots. It was only two shots.
Wasn't Holman farther back?
No, Holman shot 5-4.
I believe Holman was farther back going into round four. Was he not?
He was two off the lead going into today.
I could have
at the beginning of the day back. He was at 7-under par going into today. He shot 5-under. He got into a playoff at -12. Sam Burns today was at -9, right? So he had a 2-shot lead. Burns goes out and is a 4-under par through 11 holes, and then had three bogeys from 12 to 15, proceeded to birdie 17 to get to -11. But what you're saying to me, it sounds like no matter what like tournament you're in, if you're a leader or a co-leader and you have a lead, I don't care if it's one shot, if you're tied or whatever, if that person on top does not win, you're saying that the person behind ends up winning. You're saying that that leader lost the tournament.
If you're a professional golfer and you hit the ball as well as those guys do, and you got a lead, like a true lead, making the turn on the final nine on Sunday, you lost the tournament if you didn't walk home with a check. That's my opinion.
A 2-shot lead is not a true lead in golf, though, because you can get away with that. A 5-shot lead, yeah.
I'm just going to say, I'm going to leave it at this. Dude, you're tough, and wait till we tee it up, because I hope you're not leading after nine.
I just don't think Sam Burns in this particular tournament lost the tournament. It's not like, again, he went out there, he shot 200 par today. Riviera, like your dad said, is a tough golf course. It's a tough golf course on a normal given Tuesday, let alone on a championship Sunday. Right. I don't think Max Homa lost. If Sam Burns went out there and shot 5-over today, then I would agree with you, Andrew. I think he lost the tournament because he didn't play well. But it's not like he didn't play well today. He just got outplayed. It doesn't mean that he lost the tournament. He just got outplayed by two people.
But your analogy is he gets outplayed. If he gets outplayed, then he lost the tournament. If you ain't first, you're last. The Ricky Bobby saying is if you ain't first, you're last. Look, so if you get outplayed.
We were highlighting.
I'd love to start a poll right now. Bobby. I want to start a poll.
I could be completely wrong in my opinion, but my opinion is these guys are the best of the best. The line of this, I'm playing with the number one person in the world. If it was me,
you are number 149 you're number 125 out there right now.
Yeah.
Right? Let me ask you a question when your dad's done.
You're telling me that guy, whoever that is right now, can and should expect to beat a DJ or a Rory or a Tiger or a Phil who's on the back nine if they've never won before. That's unfair.
That's not unfair.
So Andrew, let me ask you a question.
In
order to be on the PGA Tour at this point in time, you've either had to prove as an amateur that you are solid enough to be able to compete at the PGA Tour level, or you've had to go through the Corn Ferry Tour or whichever tour it was called at that present moment.
However they qualified for their tour card, they're there. I get it. I understand. They've got somebody that said, okay, here's your card. You can go out there and play with all of them.
Yeah.
There's a lot more guys out there that haven't won than have won.
So two analogies. So do you think, since he's number one player in the world, he's playing – arguably in his prime right now, and he's playing, he can beat anybody at the moment. Did Dustin Johnson lose his tournament today? Also, I'm going to go back a few weeks later. Did Xander lose at the Waste Management, being one back, teeing it up on 17, having an eagle chance, potentially can go birdie to win the tournament?
Well, Xander, yes. Xander 1,000%.
So you're saying Xander lost the tournament, Xander, not even having Xander, the lead.
I believe on 17 threw it in the water. So that
he did throw it in the water, but
so that specific case, yes, he lost that tournament. If he has an opportunity on 17 to make a birdie, to then all he has to do, I believe at that point, in your example there, of he's got to throw it in the water, he throws it in the water, he makes bogey, or he makes birdie, and then has a chance to just walk in a par on 18. Obviously, again, I'm taking into consideration, I'm not putting out there the fact that there's guys that don't have nerves. Like, nerves happen. What I'm saying is guys on the PGA Tour are so freaking good. No matter if you're 149 or you're number one.
Yeah, but Max Homa shot 200 par on a Sunday. It's not like he went out. It's like he played good.
Sam Burns.
He shot 200 and he played good. But so did Dustin Johnson lose the tournament today?
Hold on a second. Did you, yes, he did. But he lost the tournament. He lost the tournament. He lost it.
How did he lose the tournament?
Dustin Johnson lost the tournament 2 days ago when he was out of
contention. He was two back going into today.
He was two back
for Dustin Johnson, number one player in the world, who everybody's afraid of right now.
And he lost. He lost the tournament. Yes or no?
No.
Yeah, Andrew, I'm just going to tell you, I think you're whacked on this one.
Let me ask you this. You stand up. Go look at the Max Homa shot on number 10.
In the playoff.
Okay. Yep,
it's clutch.
Yeah. Hold on a second. Your argument is that these guys have such a despairing level of ability. Okay. Is that your argument? Yes or no? That number one in the world, Dustin Johnson, has such an advantage over number 149 or wherever they're at.
Well, yes, that would be why they're according to the rankings, that person's better.
Okay, so better, yeah. Guys that are 149 or whatever the number they are pulling off shots like Max Homa does on 10. We, as individual amateurs, cannot pull those off. No questions.
No.
So Max Homa,
Hold on a second.
Just hang on. Listen to me. What I'm saying is real simple. Sam Burns had not won yet on tour. Max Homa has won on tour. He's been there. He's walked the walk.
Max Homa shot four under today to win the tournament.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Sam Burns had a 2-shot lead.
Okay.
My point is he is up on the leaderboard, making the turn to come home. Yes, the course itself is a difficult golf course. I am not finished. Hold on.
People chime in and tell us what they think.
Please go ahead. I could be completely wrong. My point is that unless something goes dramatically wrong, that 99.9% of the golfers out there that are making the turn on number 9 on Sunday, if they're on the PGA Tour, should and most likely will, because they can go full tournaments without banking a bogey. If they have the mentality of a winner on tour, they are closing that tournament down without a question.
Okay, so let me ask you a question now. If Max Homa, he missed the putt on 18. If Max Homa doesn't hit that shot in the playoff hole on number 10, does he lose the tournament?
Yes, because he lost the tournament. He finished second. My point is, you're making
Alan, an argument. We're not going to get through to him.
Sam Burns is a phenomenal player, no questions asked.
How is it that Max Homa, in my opinion, lost that tournament if he doesn't hit that miraculous shot on 10? He was in a playoff. Yes, he lost the playoff, but you're saying that Sam Burns lost the tournament because he didn't hold his 5-shot lead going into the back nine on Sunday or Saturday.
Yeah.
He had a 2-shot lead going into today. He shot 200 par.
Yeah.
He didn't lose the tournament.
If you have a 2-shot lead with 17 being a birdie hole, and I can't remember the other one, that's another phenomenal birdie opportunity. I mean, 17 is an eagle opportunity. My point is that Sam Burns lost that because he didn't have the mentality that a winner needed.
He's going to come away from this. It was a learning experience for him, and he still played phenomenal today.
That's fine. He'll come back and have a learning experience from this.
If you have a huge lead going into a Sunday, like Rory did at the Masters when he shot 81 in the final round, that was losing a golf tournament. Okay. How is Rory not losing a golf tournament on that day? You're just said that Rory didn't lose the Masters on Sunday after shooting 81.
I'm saying your argument is that you're trying
Greg Norman losing.
Those are losing golf tournaments. Okay. If you shoot significantly over par in a round that you have a major lead in, that is losing a golf tournament.
Is it a major mental lapse that he made three bogeys? I believe you said it. He made three bogeys in a row on the back nine.
He bogeyed 12, 14, and he bogeyed 12. Hold on.
What's his scorecard?
He had four birdies on the front.
Okay.
Yes.
Three bogeys 14, on the back 15. And birdie then 17.
Okay. So my point.
Two of them were on the back.
So my point is he's got a two-shot lead making the turn. And all signs at that point is he's on cruise control. Because he's made four birdies on the front nine at Riviera. Yes or no? Yes or no before I go to the next point. Yes or no?
Four birdies, but you want me to pull up Tony Finau's?
He made four birdies on the front nine. He had a lead going into the back nine. He had a major mental lapse. He lost the golf tournament. If he does not have that
mental lapse. Three bogeys in a four-hole stretch is losing the golf tournament?
If you don't win it, yeah.
Max Homa had five.
I want to get a poll. I want to get a poll on our Instagram page, and I want people to literally vote and see who they agree with, Alan and myself, or if they agree with Andrew.
Tony had four birdies on the back nine today, and one.
So you're saying then Tony Finau lost the tournament today too?
Tony Finau lost the tournament in the playoff.
Made eight birdies today.
So you're saying though Tony Finau lost the tournament after shooting 64 on Sunday?
Tony Finau lost the tournament in the playoff. He lost the tournament.
I'm saying he lost the tournament because he didn't make
different
one more birdie.
It's a different story.
How's that a different story?
Because when him and Homa finished on 18, they were tied. There's a difference between him losing the tournament in a playoff and him and Sam Burns having a two-shot lead, having a major mental lapse, and making three bogeys in a row.
Tony Finau then lost the golf tournament, is what you're saying. Regardless, because you just told me Max Homa lost the golf tournament if he doesn't hit that shot on 10.
I'm done.
Yes. You just told me Max Homa. So Tony Finau lost the tournament too.
If you do not walk away with the winner's check,
there were 148 other people. So let's talk about Jordan Spieth. Because he lost the golf tournament also.
He did.
I mean, he had a good showing, but he lost.
Until the weekend.
Yeah.
I think what did he shoot? Two over and then even? Or something like that?
I don't know what he finished. Pull it up. I watched a little bit early in his round. Makes a nice little birdie right out of the gate. And then on number two, he blows it like 40 yards to the right. And classic Jordan knocks it into the bunker, 30 yards short of the green, knocks it to a foot. So, I mean.
Yeah, that's typical Jordan. I hope he wins. I mean, I do think what he's working on with Butch right now is definitely helping him mentally and physically, I think.
T15 is where he finished.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's trying to get back to where he once was back in 15 and 16. I mean, back in 15 and 16, he was the modern-day Dustin Johnson. I mean, he was every tournament he teed it up. Yeah, so.
Shot even par today and lost the golf tournament.
Yep.
All right, folks. The debate will continue, but I feel like I'm just talking to the wall.
Yeah.
You can believe that. I'm going to believe what I want to believe.
When we tee it up together, Alan, when we're.
And all I'm going to say, Christian, is thank God we're on the 18th hole. Let's put the flag stick
in. I know. We're about to blow the lead right now.
First or last? Lost the tournament.
Christian, wrap it up. What do you got?
All right. So, closing thoughts for me, as I mention every week, we hope you guys follow us on our awesome journey here. We'll have nice, heated, friendly debates here in the 19th hole. Hopefully, you know, our viewership can join us once in a while and, you know, get involved and get included in some of these conversations. We'd love to have you guys. But, you know, obviously make sure to follow us on all social media accounts. We love the feedback that you guys, anything we can do to get better, please let us know, because your opinion matters the most to us. So we're going to continue to be us, continue to give you guys great content. Overall, though, hope you guys have a great week, and we'll see you guys on our Monday show or Thursday show.
Andrew?
My closing thoughts are, if you ain't first, you're last. And that's it. You ain't first, you're last. I'm going with.
And my final thought is, this, Ricky Bobby, that
shake and bake
is that Follow us on social media, Golf Talk Live on Instagram, and in particular on Instagram, folks. The show is airing on Monday. We are announcing on Thursday the winner of our High Heat 257 Plus with the Turf Glider Sole contest. So if you want to have an opportunity to win that, you need to hop to our Instagram page real quick and just follow the instructions there. Christian, I got nothing else other than I need a beverage after this go
around. I need a nice, strong beverage after this conversation.
So, folks, hit it long and straight because
it beats short and crooked.
Conveniently located in Harleysville, just off the Lansdale exit of the Northeast Extension, the player-friendly Mainland Golf Course offers excellent playing conditions at affordable rates. It is a perfect host site for your next corporate outing. And after each round, the golf experience at Mainland Golf Course can be enhanced by visiting the Mainland Grill, serving lunch and dinner daily. For more information, go to mainlandgolf.com. And don't forget their sister courses, Bella Vista Golf Course in Gilbertsville and Morgan Hill in Easton.